wars, we fight, and griping about the great things on the beat. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fight beside me.
When you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, I normally don't comment about sports events. I follow baseball a bit. I used to follow hockey. I'm not really all that much into organized sports. But there's a story today that really infuriates me. And a Canadian icon named Don Cherry has been fired from his job. He was the host of Coach's Corner for the Toronto Maple Leafs hockey games. For Hockey Night in Canada for 37 years. He's 85 years old. Don Cherry is a brash, opinionated fellow, and usually offered very trenchant, hard-hitting views on hockey, and from time to time offended people. He was opposed to some of the safety requirements of the new form of hockey that is coming of late. He's been very critical of certain individuals. He's an outspoken and proud patriot, and this past weekend during the Coach's Corner raised some very pointed comments about poppies and Remembrance Day. And what Don Cherry said was that, this has to be taken in context. He said that a friend of his who sells these poppies was having a lot of trouble this year. A lot of people just didn't want to buy them and just basically weren't into the spirit. And then he said, "You people." Now, that has been understood to mean immigrants. But in the context, "you people" refers to you people, all of you. I'll be playing this, but essentially he said, get with the, you know, be patriotic, spend a few bucks to buy a poppy because the poppies help support the works of the Royal Canadian Legion. And well, it was taken as meaning, it goes on to say that you people, mostly immigrants, come here to enjoy the milk and honey of this country, the benefits, but you owe it to us, you owe it to the veterans who made all this possible, to honor them by paying them, by buying a poppy. Now, that's all he said. Well, that took great offense. So let me just play what it was he said that set off this firestorm.
You enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people, a good Canadian that bought a poppy. I'm still going to run it. Anyhow, looking for it. Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to, he says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to a small city, and you know those, the roles on roads, you people love, you they come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you can pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys pay the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people, a good Canadian that bought a poppy, I'm still going to run it anyhow.
Now, that was the comment, and great exception was taken to the comment "you people," which actually can be taken in several ways. The thrust was, go out there and buy a poppy, and especially people who are new to this country, you came here to partake in the goodies, honor the vets. Now, even if you take the most negative view, that he's only talking about immigrants. Actually, he's talking about everybody. But even if you take that, then it's still be a matter of his opinion. Here's a report from the Toronto Sun's Joe Warmington. He got a chance to talk to Don Cherry today.
Cheap, I guess, other than taking away free speech and also just kind of piling on and picking on an 85-year-old icon. I'm disgusted that I came into the studio. I don't know if that's what you want to hear or not, but that's how I feel. Such a snowflake society that a guy can't say something like that and have it roll off people's backs. And I don't think the country's better for it. All the people that are celebrating today, just remember when they come for you and there's no one to care. And that is really, really scary. I think this is a very scary time for Canada in light of what happened here.
Yeah, that's the Toronto Sun columnist, Joe Warmington, commenting. And I think it is a very scary time. He was quickly thrown under the bus by the NHL National Hockey League, and also. By his employer, Sportsnet. He was offered an opportunity to further apologize, and he said he wouldn't apologize. That those were his opinions, and he was not going to cave in and become a neutered automaton. And he said that. In fact, Don Cherry's huge following occurs because he is outspoken. He's brash. He's 85 years old. He's a real man's man. That's what people like to watch him for. I would suspect many of the people who have written in to the CRTC in great outrage about his opinions, were not even hockey fans, had not watched him, but they read that he had said something politically incorrect, and their they're all in favor of throwing him under the bus. Well, he has been thrown under the bus, ironically, or perhaps not so ironically, on Remembrance Day. And Don Cherry was a huge fan of the vets, veterans, and he'd spoken out for them on many, many occasions. And and his comments on Saturday night were actually part of that same thing. Sadly, the Royal Canadian Legion today also tossed Don Cherry under the bus. They said that his comments did not reflect the Legion. The Legion is all for diversity, etc., etc., etc. Pathetic, absolutely pathetic. You know, they didn't have to say anything. You know, sometimes rather than my mother always used to say, sometimes it's better to be quiet, not open your mouth, and people think of you as a fool, than you open your mouth and confirm it. Now, in a case like this, the Royal Canadian Legion was under no obligation to offer an opinion, but they did, and they disowned Don Cherry. Now, here is a man who had done a great deal of good, drawing attention to the works of the Legion, drawing attention to our obligation to support our veterans. And the Legions, and I've talked on a couple of previous programs about their pathetic, politically correct leadership that now even has a policy that the no branch of the Legion will affiliate, whatever that means, with anybody who, or any group that promotes hatred or violence against, race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, etc., etc. And such a group will, of course, be defined by the national command, by the Dominion command. The several groups that have been kept out, none of which, not have in no case promoted hatred. But that's not enough. Ezra Levant says our petition to. At supportdoncherry.com has 44,793 signatures. This is an hour ago. Help us get to 50,000 by tonight. Add your name. We'll deliver it to Don Cherry himself, Judas McLean, and Sportsnet, the woke censors. Now, Sportsnet is the company that for which Don Cherry works, and it is actually the producer of Hockey Night in Canada and in which John Cherry plays a part with Coach's Corner. Ezra Levant says, this is all he said. The newcomers to Canada should wear the traditional Remembrance Day poppy to support those who died to keep us free. And for that, he was sacked. That's right. Sacked. This is a pathetic betrayal. Betrayal of exactly what it was many veterans thought they were fighting for. They thought, in a general sense, they were fighting for freedom. This is a suppression of freedom. The National Hockey League, in a particularly pathetic disowning of a man whose personality brought so much attention to the NHL. The hockey teams, and as with most other professional sports, they don't really make their bucks so much from people coming to watch the games. Yes, that does bring in some money, but nowadays so much of the income comes from the media rights, and Don Cherry's opinionated, spirited mid-game comments drew an awful lot of audience, well over a million, to Hockey Night in Canada. You know, and that's money in the pockets of these teams. Well, anyway, the NHL said they disowned Don Cherry's remarks because they were in favor of diversity. Now, when you hear diversity, reach for your handgun. Because it's a lie. It doesn't mean what it seems to say. You know, what do you think you hear when you hear, we're for diversity? Well, what you think you're hearing is, we're here for a variety of, you know, people or ideas, right? No. Oh, no. Diversity means you shall not offend privileged minorities. Diversity of opinion? No way. That's the last thing they want. If they're for diversity, what's the problem with Don Cherry? Now, it's said that immigrants were outraged. Well, as a matter of fact, many immigrants said they didn't take offense that they had acclimatized to Canada, that they wore the poppy on Remembrance Day, and they did not take it as an affront. In fact, they said that immigrants should try to fit in, as we did. The real affront was taken by the usual cultural Marxist suspects, many of whom are actually not immigrants at all. Let's see. Oh, yes. I ran against her for mayor of Mississauga in 2014. Bonnie Crombie, the mayor of Mississauga, said, we're building a diverse community. That's what immigration has dumped, a very diverse crowd on that city, yes. So she rejected Don Cherry's comments. The mayor of Toronto, John Tory, who is a leftist of the first order and no pal of freedom of speech, he was against that. He denounced Don Cherry. There are all sorts of really good comments up on the internet. I'm going to try to read just a few of them. Some people are saying, well, he was old. The time has passed by. These comments were once acceptable, but they're not today. No, if we really have freedom of speech, he should be able to say what he wants. And people, of course, are absolutely free to disagree with him. Jonathan Torrens, for instance, tweets, okay, Sportsnet, before you rush into replacing Don Cherry, consider what a unique opportunity you have at this moment. You need someone who knows the game inside out, who is adored and accomplished, a proud Canadian. Do something unexpected, unprecedented. Hire him back. Let's see here. Don Cherry said, if you notice, I never said immigrants. I never said anything. I said you people. And they could have been Scottish, they could have been Irish, they could have been anything. But that's the way the world is today. They listened to those people. This is Cathal Kelly, who writes a column for the sports column for the Globe and Mail. He says, Cherry wanted, he's rejoicing, of course, in the demise of Don Cherry. Cherry wanted hockey in Canada to remain just as they had been when he first got to know them. In the 21st century, the country, I'm just waiting for this to pop up on the screen. In the 21st century, Back when people still thought of him as the prototype of perfect Canadianness, Don Cherry's son, Tim, tried to explain his father's appeal. I think he never takes a politically correct stance, and people appreciate that. But they are also waiting for the train wreck. They're waiting for him to say something that'll end him. Well, finally he did, and Rogers Sportsnet fired him today. Mr. Cherry was more than a broadcaster, he was an era. He represented how many both inside and outside this country defined Canada over a period of time. But times changed, and Mr. Cherry wouldn't. That derailed him. Ostensibly, Mr. Cherry's work was analyzing hockey games. But really, what he did was insult people. Quebecers, Scandinavians, Pinkos, anyone who didn't appreciate the beauty of blood on the ice. He's a voice for a particular approach to the game. Now, why should that voice be silenced? It's not the only voice. Cherry was an expert, extremely knowledgeable about hockey, about the game. And he was opinionated. And so he was part expert, but also part showman. He was known for his egregious jackets and ties. The type of thing that would make a rhinestone cowboy look conservative. But that was part of his persona. Anyway, Cathal Kelly is an extremely nasty to him. Had some of his most notorious lines concerned, say, political participation or immigration rather than sport. I've been trying to tell you people for so long about the what kind of people that they are, and you just love them in Canada with your multiculturalism. He'd have been written off as a crank shortly after he started. You see, he was one of the few widely heard politically incorrect voices. Now, it was not a coherent ideology. I don't think John Cherry was an ideologist, but he had certain opinions, and he expressed them. And because it was in the context of hockey, this was tolerated for a while. I think also tolerated because he attracted great ratings. It's extremely sad, and there's quite an online pushback, and I'll be coming back to this issue again. Well, just when you think it can't get any crazier, it gets crazier. And this is a story from the Mirror in England. Mom promotes inclusivity with picture of son holding men have periods sign. Sorry, men have periods too sign. Millie Boskar, and there's a picture of her. She's some sort of Middle Easterner, lives in Hull, England, and there she is with her four-year-old son, Eli, and equally swarthy, bearded husband, Rishi. A mom's post has gone viral after she shared a photo of her son holding up a sign, "Men have periods too," in order to promote inclusivity. Millie Boskar has amassed thousands of followers on Instagram through her posts that promote self-love, and that's masturbation, body acceptance, and mental health awareness, and her latest post feature her son Eli. The sign held up by the four-year-old says, "Some men have periods too," although misspelled. It's the T-O, what she really means is T-O-O. So here is the sign. "Some men have periods too. If I can get it, so can you." He's only 4 years old, so I don't think he wrote that. But whoever wrote it has failed human biology. Millie, who lives in Hull, explains in her caption why she made the post. She said, "Some men have periods. Some non-binary people have periods. Some women have periods." Some non-binary people. What's that? Oh, well, These are people who are just basically mentally mixed up. Binary means there's basically two sexes, there's man and woman. Non-binary doesn't quite know what the creature is. Eli has been told about periods since he saw blood in my pants a couple of years ago. I no longer have them now, and I don't know what TBH is. It is shit when it's seen as like the ultimate feminine superpower, because I'm still a woman. So I didn't use the language of women. I didn't use the language of women have periods because it's not entirely inclusive. Well, some things can't be inclusive, can they? You know, you can't say women have penises too. That includes everybody, so everybody feels included. But they don't. This is a part of the absolute retreat from common sense. Trans men have female sex organs and still experience periods, and some non-binary people have periods too. Therefore, removing a female logo off the front of sanitary products helps include us all. Isn't that wholesome and a nice gesture? I'm actually reading what she wrote. I'm stumbling because it's so illiterate. She is quite clearly a nutter. And notice what she's doing in posting or having her son hold this silly poster men have periods too, is in the pursuit of absolute equality. She's just plain talking nonsense, unfortunately. Well, here's the latest from AOC. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's was elected last go round as a Democratic congresswoman from New York City. AOC suggests we need to fight white supremacy to combat climate change. Can you think you can get your head around that one? We need to fight white supremacy to combat climate change. Well, I'll let Alexandria Occasional Cortex in on a little secret. Climate change is something you cannot do much about, at least not to stop. We may have to adapt to climate change if climate change climate seems to be changing in a particular pattern. Yeah, we may have to adapt to it. If waters are rising, we may have to build dikes or do something like that, or move houses back from the edge of bodies of water that are rising. Yeah, that would be adapting to climate change. But there's nothing we can actually do about it, that is to stop it, despite what some people might tell you. There isn't. Climate change, quite simply, is caused by sunspots or explosions on the sun. When there are periods of many of these, climate rise, the temperatures rise. When there's periods of fewer, then temperatures fall. Nothing, unfortunately, we can do about it. That's just the way things are. So, anyway, let's see what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says. She's in favor of something, a new Green Deal. Well, that was just about deindustrialize and shut down America. If Alexandria got her way, you better get used to riding your bicycle. I know, in Alaska, right? On Saturday, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claimed that fighting white supremacy is a fundamental part of combating climate change. Okay. She also attacked consultants who would encourage climate activists to focus on solar panels more than social justice. And this woman's all over the landscape. The way we inoculate ourselves from continuing to burn up our planet at unsustainable levels, triggering feedback loops that have not even begun to comprehend, is by honoring the indigenous wisdom and allowing it to guide our climate policy. Okay, yeah, consult your local Cree band or Sioux Indians. They'll set you straight. Well, one of the great fabrications is that the native people were in harmony with the land. This is to be polite about it, bullshit. Many of the native tribes in North America were brutal on the environment, and in fact their damage was limited not by their ignorance, but only by their relatively small numbers and lack of technology. For instance, we now know through anthropology that some of the big animals, horned animals, deer, that were around 5,000 years ago, were basically exterminated by the natives. As primitive as their technology was. In southern Alberta, there's a place called Buffalo Leap, and it's a place where the prairie suddenly hits an escarpment and drops down quite steeply down into a valley. The Plains Indians would use fire and stampede the buffalo to this cliff edge, and the buffalo would tumble over, and they, of course, would be dead, and so they didn't have to chase them down and kill them. And the Indians very often would harvest nothing more than the hump of the buffalo, because that had the most desirable meat. Now, this was immensely, immensely destructive. So I point this out only to suggest that Alexandria Ocasional Cortex's suggestion that we honor indigenous wisdom. I think we should listen to all voices, of course, but to honor it as if they somehow, Native Indians somehow had a unique grasp on important knowledge is just plain nonsense. Anyway, Anastasia, oh my gosh, Alexandria continues. But the way that we preserve our system is by transitioning to principles of universality. Whatever that means. That means I want you clothed, I want you educated, I want you paid a living wage, no ifs, ands, or buts. And what that also means, and what Naomi, or some other speaker, talked about as well, is directly, consciously combating white supremacy in the United States of America. Okay, so the biggest threat right behind climate change is white supremacy. She was referring to Naomi Klein. Yes, Naomi Klein is a driven, single-minded Canadian activist who has spoken out, who's spoken just before Alexandria. Klein, to be more specific, she spoke about two fires, climate change and the divisive politicians, conservative politicians like Donald Trump, who champion an in-group over an out-group. She accused Trump of dividing America with white supremacy. Donald Trump's a white supremacist. At this moment, when the climate crisis becomes impossible to deny, at this very moment, these figures who are so expert at the art of spreading division are rising, she said. I believe that we all know on the cellular level that there's something deeply wrong with our common home. And she accused the right of exploiting that message with that fear with the message we will protect you against the other. Well, we're being invaded. She went on, this is Alexandria Occasional Cortex. Do you think it is coincidence that these two fires are raging at exact the same time? And as these strong men turn their populations against each other, that frees them up for the real business at hand, which is pillaging the earth. We cannot win this fight without battling white supremacy. Okay. Speaking at a rally for Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, a 2020 Democratic presidential candidate, Alexandria Occasional Cortex, she'd endorsed him, the congresswoman recalled strategizing about her central policy proposal, the New Green Deal. She said her team planned to launch it not just to fight the alleged catastrophe of climate change, but also to help communities left behind. Well, they'll be left way behind if they manage to get rid of fossil fuels. AOC went on to chide consultants who encouraged her to focus on the technological solutions to the alleged climate crisis, rather than tying climate into her identity politics message. Just worry about solar panels. Leave the social justice stuff behind, the congresswoman summarized. Race makes everything complicated. She dismissed that as advice as wrongheaded. As a practical matter, Ocasio-Cortez is entirely wrong. Even if climate change were a catastrophic threat, fighting white supremacy would have a negligible impact on the environment. AOC has the uncanny ability to see white supremacy behind everything from the Tea Party movement to the New York Times, one of the most anti-white publications in the world. In this case, she seems to interpret white supremacy as anti-immigrant terrorists like the El Paso shooter. Anyway, what else does she have to say here? AOC's Green New Deal is a fantasy. Taxing the rich at 100% would not even come close to footing the bill for the New Green Deal and Medicare for All, according to the Heritage Foundation. The $48 trillion or $93 trillion price tags aside, AOC's attempt to remake the American economy in her social justice and climate alarmist image is not possible. If Ocasio-Cortez were serious about fighting climate change, she would talk about more about nuclear energy and less about restricting the entire economy, let alone white supremacy. Anyway, I was thinking about global warming today. You remember, of course, that, you may not remember, but back in 1970, a book came out called The Coming Ice Age. And so for a decade or so, people were all terrified that we're all going to end up freezing to death. Well, by 1992, at the Rio Conference, a collection of globalist conspirators came up with a new threat, and that was global warming. And as we found out subsequently, much of the so-called science, the science is all in, we were told. Well, actually, the science is mostly in, but it doesn't back the idea that the Earth is warming, that we're warming because of burning more hydrocarbons. And of course we're all to blame. Well, anyway, once that the global warming melted disappeared as a viable concept 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, they came up with climate change. Well, of course they can't lose with climate change. Climate's always changing. But anyway, back to global warming. We still hear some people say, there's global warming. In fact, the oceans are going to rise, you know, an inch and a half, and you know, supposedly terrible things will happen. And back in, I think it was 2000, Al Gore, then Vice President of the United States, warned that with global warming, the Arctic ice cap will have all melted by 2013. Why don't we ever hold these people accountable for their lies or their wild mistakes? You know, it's what, 2019 now, 6 years after the M Day, meaning the melt day. Most of the Arctic ice cap is still there. I'm broadcasting tonight. This is the 11th of November, in the middle of a big snowstorm. In fact, I don't ever remember this much snow where I live in southern Ontario this early. I do remember the odd dusting of snow as early as perhaps Halloween when my children were very, very young. I remember a Halloween where there was a dusting of snow on the ground and it was really quite cold taking the little kitties around for trick-or-treat. But all that aside, what we have today is a snowstorm that may well dump 4 or more inches along the lower Great Lakes in southern Ontario. And I want to say, and I will say, it must be global warming. You know, I don't think we should ever stop calling these people on their nonsense. You know, I think we tend to be too forgiving. Well, you know, they meant well, or, you know, let's move on. No, when we make a mistake, we get hammered. I think it's time to be a little bit more forthright in criticizing the utter lies and nonsense put out by the social justice warriors. Well, this is Paul from another fucking side of me. Going to take a musical break now. Going to play some Ulster Irish folk tunes. These were brought over by the settlers, many of whom settled in Appalachia, from Ulster, or sometimes called Northern Ireland. And you may have you may recognize the tune, but you may find some of these words a little different. So hope you like this. This is some Ulster Irish folk music. Thank you.
me and me every day a hurry ten.
But you wonder why I am so proud.
You wonder why I sing so loud.
Cause my Aunt Jane says to me, no matter where you're going to be, we're people true and proud.
Sing with pride and sing our love.
Northern Ireland! Northern Ireland!
Yeah. Star of bright eyes.
myself to her beauty. Fair maiden, where do you belong? Are you from heaven descended, abiding in Cupid's fair throne? Young man, I will tell you a secret. It's true, I'm a maid that is poor. And to part from my vows and my promise is more than my heart can endure. Therefore, I'll remain at my service and go through all my hardships and toil. And wait for the lad that has left me all alone on the banks of their lives. Young maiden, I wish not to banter. 'Tis true, I come here in disguise. I came here to fulfill my last promise and hoped to give you a surprise. All I know is you're a maid I love dearly, and you're feeling my heart all the while. For me, there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of fair lyre. For me, there is no other damsel than my blooming bright star of fair
lyre. Well, this is Paul Frohn. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again next week. This is same time. But I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Frohn, for our people.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple.